Lord, where their heart's at and what they're desiring. Lord, would you continue to bless them? And Lord, this morning we pray for Dana. We just pray, Lord, that you would be a blessing here to us this morning through Dana. Lord, we ask that you would speak into his heart. We pray, Lord, that you would allow our hearts to be open, our minds to be open, eyes and ears to be open, Lord, that we can hear from you. Lord, as we leave here, that we would do, that we would be what you want us to be. We just want to bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Well, good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name. Lynn mentioned a while ago, or earlier, that just being here with people, maybe we don't even know each other very well, but just having that connection, I experienced that last night. We had overnight company from Pennsylvania, Reuben and Lois, and didn't know them at all, but felt an immediate kinship, and we talked about it then. It's just special to be able to meet family from wherever and have that connection. So it is good to be part of the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. My message, it's already up there, so you know what the title is. The other night I was sitting in my tree stand with Erica. Erica loves to go hunting with Dad. And I was sitting there trying to, you know, think ahead to my message and so on. And I turned and whispered to her, I said, "Erica, what did I preach about last time?" And I said, "You'd better not tell me you don't know." And she thought a little bit. She just kind of shook her head. She kind of just said, "I don't remember." And I said, "Well, do you wonder why I get discouraged preaching when you don't even remember what I preached about? And besides that, I was hoping you could tell me because I couldn't remember either." But I was soon able to bring it back up. I knew I had been in Titus, but I could not remember my title. Anyways, following after godliness. Last time I was preaching, I did not get through my notes. I decided to cut it off and finish it today. So because of that, we're going to have some review. Hebrews 12:14 says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." By following after godliness, by that term, I mean seeking God. And by seeking God, I am meaning seeking more and deeper and fuller relationship with God. A phrase that we often hear is pursuing God. Are you pursuing God? A phrase I like to use is following hard after God. Does this describe you? It should. And as so often has to happen, before I could be ready to preach this message, God showed me some things that I needed to change in my life. We grow complacent. We lose our focus. Good enough becomes good enough. The stuff of earth so easily clouds our vision. John the Baptist said in John 3:30, he, speaking of Jesus, John said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." So my question to you, the question I need to pose to myself is, do I really, thinking about it, that for him to increase, I must decrease. Do you really want more of Jesus and less of you? For real. This is the question we must answer. This is what the gospel is about. the kingdom of God going into all the world, but first being established without rival in my own heart. The whole thing comes down to one big word: surrender. You cannot come to God on any other term. You cannot come to God and make a deal. Unless it's this kind of deal. I talked to a man a couple years ago who was a drug addict. Who had been. Who had lived a life of sin. And had pretty well given up. He was bound by drugs, he was bound by alcohol, he was bound by sin. And he didn't try to make a deal with God, but he told God, "If you will take me and change me, I will serve you with all I have." This was at like 2 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday morning, Saturday night, Sunday morning. This was a man in town here. He was actually, I don't remember the whole situation, but he was up at this time of the morning. And when you're up at that time of the morning, you don't get up early the next morning. He said the next morning he woke his wife up and said, "We're going to church." He said, "I've never touched drugs. I've never touched alcohol. God completely redid my insides, my desires. Everything changed in a moment." Do you truly want more of Jesus and less of you? Surrender. Surrender to the Lordship of Christ. Realizing, admitting, giving over to the fact that there is one name given among men that deserves recognition, and it is not mine or yours. One name that every knee will bow to and every tongue will confess is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And that, of course, is the name Jesus Christ. It's not about peace. It's not about power. It's not about assurance of salvation or victory or eternal life even. It's not about any of those things. These are side effects. These are not the central part of the matter. It's about turning and looking into the eyes of Him who loved us and gave His life for us. Looking into those eyes and asking, "How can I give less than my all?" I don't deserve a single good thing, and neither do you. We don't deserve any good thing. And He loved unto death for someone who deserved nothing. Surely I can take someone who deserves everything good and love him unto life. I deserve nothing good. He died. He loved me unto death. He deserves everything good. Surely I can live, die to Him, but unto life eternal. Remember last time, life was part of the equation that we talked about, eternal life. How much it affected everything to realize that life is only truly valuable if it lasts forever. It has to start with surrender. This is where the battle is won or lost. It's not on certain issues, and it's not in the heat of the moment. It's won or lost in our heart when the Spirit says, come, die to self, take up the cross, and follow Jesus. And we choose to die to self because He is worthy to be followed and worshipped. And we live to the glory of God. And we experience and we find life. And that battle is not won or lost in the heat of the moment. It's won in that surrender ahead of time. But then we'll find out that when in the heat of the moment, we do fail. We do make a wrong choice. God in His faithfulness will stir our conscience. Will tell us, we know I need to go back and apologize. I need to go make this right. I need to confess to God, to my spouse, to my child, to the congregation, whatever it might be. I need to go humble myself. I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me. So we go and do that. We make restitution, and suddenly in dying we find life. Life rising up and overflowing, and there's peace and joy and restoration and fulfillment and victory over temptation, and the list goes on, but only after surrender has happened. I'd like you to turn to Philippians chapter 3. I trust this can be your testimony. And I know it can be. This can be everyone's testimony. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 through 21. I'm going to simply read it, not make any comments except on verse 21. But trust again. I hope that each one of us, this can be our desire, this can be our testimony, this can be what we want to be a reality. And it's what we are experiencing as a reality in our lives. Philippians 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. And in the verses leading up to verse 7, Paul had been going on about all the things he had done as a Pharisee and how he kept the Old Testament law perfectly, or at least very well compared to many people. Backing up, verse 9, be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Those things, I said I'm not going to make comments, but I'm going to. Forgetting those things which are behind. Usually we think of that as a negative thing. I forget my failures. I forget those times I've failed. And I don't let that discourage me. I forget about those and I press forward. We also need to forget the good things we've done. We can't sit here and say, well, I've accomplished a lot. I've apprehended. We forget what's behind and we press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Verse 15, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, or mature, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is how I know this can be everyone's testimony, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. If I will give myself to Christ, he will subdue all things unto him, and he can make me what I ought to be. Okay, now some review here. Titus 1, we're looking at Titus chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And I'll just read that quickly, and then I've got it. I showed you this last time, but we'll go over it again. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. So we have Paul, a servant or a slave of God, and an apostle, a delegate, specially an ambassador of the gospel of Jesus Christ, according to or for the sake of the faith of God's elect, and for the sake of the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. So we have Paul, a slave of God, and an apostle or a delegate, an ambassador of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. So the two things we're focusing on are godliness and eternal life. Some things we talked about last time. We talked about how easy it is to be just be content and let life pass us by spiritually. I talked to the intermediates this morning about our lesson this morning in the intermediate class was about exercising ourselves unto godliness. When the first, I believe it was the first crew that went to outer space, when they came back, they'd been gone, maybe it was the first one that stayed for a certain amount of time, whatever it was, but when they came back, there were things that they were learning. And when they came back to Earth, they had not taken into account how little exercise they would get while they were in outer space because there's no gravity. We get exercise simply by walking, by handling objects, by whatever. They came back and literally some of them could not walk. They had to be helped off of, they put them on stretchers. I've seen pictures of that. Now when they go into outer space, they can't lift weights. So they'll take like rubber bands and things like that they can use to keep their muscles in shape. That has to happen. Spiritually, we need to be exercising our muscles. We need to be in the Word. We need to be praying. We need to be sharing with others. We need to be exercising. We cannot just simply coast. I gave the illustration of my cup of coffee getting cold. I didn't do anything to make it cold. I simply took it away from the warmer, and it got cold on its own. That's all we need to do. We don't need to decide, okay, I am going to get lukewarm or cold spiritually. We don't have to consciously decide to do that. That happens naturally if we stay away from the warmer, which again is Christ, the Spirit, the Word of God, relationship with God. An interesting side note here. Do you realize that there is no such thing as cold or darkness? How many of you agree with that? Okay, a number of you. There is no such thing as cold. You can be cold. You can feel cold. But cold is the absence of heat. And darkness, it can be dark, but you can't project darkness into something. Darkness is the absence of light. You can't make something dark. You have to shut the light out in order for a room to be dark. You can't make darkness. You can't make cold. Refrigerators, air conditioners, those kind of things work by taking the heat out of whatever they're working at. Cold is not, we experience cold, but you cannot create cold. And you cannot create darkness. You can simply remove the heat or shut out the light. Now, I ask if you're willing to become less, that Christ may be more. And this is some things that God worked on me this week. Light and darkness are often referred to, used to portray good and evil. And I want to be careful about making too big of a statement here or being too matter-of-fact about this. But if light represents good and darkness represents evil, then how much absence of good can we have before something is evil? How much light can you take away before something becomes darkness? And again, you're going to have to decide for yourself, or maybe more correctly would be, let the Spirit speak to you this morning. These are some things that I was spoken to about. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And Colossians 3:17 is much the same. Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So often we tend to ask, what's wrong with it? But a better question is, what's right about it? If we can't answer what the right is about it, we are probably going to have a hard time showing how we are doing it for the glory of God, how we are doing it in the name of the Lord Jesus. These are some questions I had to ask myself. Is Jesus the Lord of your hunting? Do you hunt to the glory of God? And do you do it in the name of Jesus? Is Jesus the Lord of your sports? Is Jesus the Lord of your video games? Do you play video games in the name of Jesus and to the glory of God? Is Jesus the Lord of your phone? Is He Lord of your social media? Is He Lord of your thought life? Your shopping trips? Your conversation while you're shopping? Bringing everything unto the Lordship of Christ is called surrender. And simply put, is Jesus the Lord of your life? I don't know how we put all this in shoe leather every day. Again, each one of us is going to have... I heard a man make a statement the other day. I don't think I'm even going to say what it was he said exactly. And it was no one from here. He said, I think that when someone does this, this, and this in this way, that is a sin. If it were done in exactly the same mode of thinking that he was referring to, yes, it could easily, often would be sin. But it doesn't have to be. There are many times when it's not done in sin. I'm being kind of vague and I apologize for that. But let's take hunting, for instance. If my drive for hunting is to get out of the house, get away from my wife, get away from those pesky kids, whatever it might be, we've got some problems. If my drive for hunting is because if I get a bigger buck than the next guy, that makes me a better man than the next guy, we've got some problems. When there is almost nothing Erica would rather do than sit in a tree stand with Dad, that changes everything. You can't make a blanket statement and say hunting is always right. You can't make a statement and say it's always wrong. You can ask what's right with it. What is my motive? Am I doing this to the glory of God, and am I doing it in the name of Jesus? Is Jesus Lord of your life? We talked about Psalm 16:11, thinking about this from Christ's point of view. Christ knew every island. Christ knew everything about the world. There aren't any little paradises tucked away somewhere that He wasn't aware of. And yet He looked at it all and said, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy." Speaking of God the Father, "In Your presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." I wrote, Jesus knew what was good for Him. And that, if we do well to take that to heart, that is where joy is. That is where life is. That is where fulfillment is in the presence of God. Please turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. And we started looking at this last time, and I'm not going to cover everything again. And I really think I'm going to next time, Lord willing, I hesitate to mention this sometimes because then sometimes I get led differently. But Lord willing, next time I plan to be looking at the next couple of verses in Titus where Paul says to Titus, he says, "I left you there in Crete to ordain elders. And you need to do that and set things in order." And I really covet your prayers in preparing that message because I'm not at all wanting this to be a pat on my back. I'm not wanting it to be a pity party, anything like that. If it goes like I'm thinking, I want to try to maybe help you see things a little bit from my point of view, my position in the congregation, and how that all fits together. So I would appreciate if you would be praying for me in leading up to my next message in 2 weeks, Lord willing. Okay, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Again, I'm not going to read all of these, but I'm going to touch on some of them. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight," and I mentioned this last time, "but laying aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." There is a difference. Not everything can be narrowed down to sin or not sin. Is it a weight or is it a hindrance in my running the race? "Let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Run with endurance. Verse 2, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." He began it. He finishes it. "Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." He knew what it was like. He knew what heaven was like. He longed to go back home. Again, going back to Psalm 16, he knew that in the presence of God was fullness of joy, and at His hand, right hand, was pleasure forevermore. Then verse 3, we're told to consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Jesus had many people that resisted Him as well. Don't think that because you experience resistance that you're doing it wrong. Consider Him. He experienced contradiction of sinners against Himself. Don't be wearied and faint because of that. And then He says, "Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." Jesus did resist unto blood. Don't be too easily discouraged. In Jeremiah 12:5, if thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustedst, they weary thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? Again, last time I mentioned how often I believe our life of ease, and I say our, I'm not saying that I have it rough and you don't. We have a relatively easy life. And I think it's easy for us to think that when trials do come that somehow we don't deserve that. We deserve a good, perfect life. Verse 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? And again, we see the principle of dying to self. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits, and that resulting in life? Verse 12. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. And I want to be true to the context here. I believe what he's saying there is square your shoulders back, straighten your knees, let's go. Don't just be stooped down and feeling sorry for yourself and all of that. You haven't resisted yet to blood. Jesus endured contradiction of sinners. And in this part, he's talking also about discipline, about God's working in our lives. If you're not being disciplined, you're not a child of God. So, buck up. But I also think that it would be okay to say that we should also look for opportunity to do this for others. When we see hands that are hanging down, maybe we can come along beside and help lift those hands. When we see feeble knees, maybe we can carry someone. I wasn't sure if it was appropriate to share this, but I think I'm going to. I'm sure that Larry and Esther and the family have many, many tough days. And I would suppose that there's probably times when they don't necessarily respond as well as they should or could. But in the times that I have been there and in the conversations I've had, I've not heard a word of complaint. I've not heard, poor me, why me? And Larry, this morning, I want to bless you. For your spirit, and Esther, you as well, Danny and Emily, for your testimony, your resilience, for showing us how to suffer well. I bless you in that. I feel like you've been running with horses and doing well. Thank you for that example and encouragement. I used this last time. I'd like to use it again. Philippians 2:12-16. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Don't just sit there. Use what you've been given. Work out your own salvation. Be a blessing to others. Seek the Lord. Lay hold on eternal life. Live with zeal and with purpose. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Following after godliness, dying to self, giving all to Christ, and finding life. To God be the glory. Great things He hath done. Just encourage you, follow after godliness. I ask you to stand. We'll have prayer. Again, you are all welcome to stay for lunch. Father, I thank you. Thank you again, Lord, for your word. Your word is so precious. It just shows us the way, shows us who you are and how you work and what you desire and even demand from us. Help us, Lord, to be honest with ourselves and with you, to truly desire that even when or even since it costs me to decrease, that we would desire you to increase in our lives. Help us to be sensitive. Help us to be able to hear. Mold our hearts after you. Bless each one. Thank you for each one that's here this morning. I pray your blessing on each one. Thank you also for the food that's been prepared. I pray, Lord, that you would bless this food. I pray that our conversation would be centered around you, would be in the name of Jesus, and would be to the glory of God. Help us, Lord, to do all for you. Bless those that have prepared the food. I just pray you bless our time. We thank you, and we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.